In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Text for our sermon this morning is the psalm appointed for this Sunday. It's Psalm 51, reading in verses 10 to 17. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who sends to us the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, through God's Word. There is a truth in theology that the works of the persons of God are indivisible. And what that means is that when we may attribute a certain work to one person of the Trinity, God the Father created the world, that it's also true that the other persons of the Trinity also participated in that work, because all three persons are one God. Based on that, we can think about the works of God the Father and God the Son in a sense as being more external and visible. I mean, think of when we talk about God the Father and His creation, and now particularly His preservation, as God controls nature and uses nature to provide for us our daily bread. That's something that we can see because it's external. When we think of the work of the Son, in a sense, that's external. We can see Jesus in the Scripture living a perfect life for us. We can see Him dying on the cross. We can behold His empty tomb and His appearance to His disciples alive again. Last week we saw Him ascending up into heaven. When it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit, however, then we can say, in a sense, that that is much more internal. It's something that we can't see, can we? Because the work of the Holy Spirit is to set us apart for Christ and to preserve us in faith through God's Word. And all of that takes place invisibly in our hearts. We call upon God, the Holy Spirit, to do His sanctifying work of giving us a heart pure from sin and a steadfast mind determined to do God's will every time that we use the offertory in our Lutheran liturgy. Now, some of you may be able to identify the offertory, but maybe some of you know it by the first name or the first words of our text. We also call it the Create in Me. It's that verse of David here that we sing immediately following the sermon. And there, like King David, like repentant King David, we pray that the Holy Spirit would give us, continue to give us, that pure heart and that steadfast mind of Christ as we go about our daily struggle, even as our sinful nature still clings to us, even as our sinful nature daily has us fall into sin. We pray with repentant David for that sanctifying work that the Spirit does through the gospel. And that's why it's right after the sermon. In the sermon, we preach the gospel. And in the offertory, we ask God to use that gospel that we just heard to purify our heart, to give us a steadfast mind, to restore in us the joy of our salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. The Holy Spirit's work of cleansing and renewing our hearts and minds is ongoing because we still have our sinful flesh. And thus, the repeated singing of David's prayer, "Create in me." This morning, we take a few moments to look at the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian. First, we see that the Holy Spirit moves us to repentance and brings us forgiveness. And second, we see that the Holy Spirit opens our lips and arouses our praise. The King David, who wrote Psalm 51, is quite a different King David than the scheming adulterer and murderer whom we read about in 2 Samuel chapter 11. There, King David saw Bathsheba, another man's wife, and schemed and committed adultery with her. And then he schemed some more, and he murdered her husband, Uriah, by using and controlling events in a particular battle that led to Uriah's death. The last verse of 2 Samuel chapter 11 reads, "But the thing David had done displeased the Lord." For about a year, King David lived in impenitence and unbelief. He did not acknowledge his sin. And he tells us that that whole time that he did that, that he groaned all day long under the burden of his guilt. He tells us that his guilt sapped his strength like in the heat of summer. David writes about those sad days also in Psalm 32. Then Nathan the prophet came to him, said, "You're the man who sinned against God." And David, by the working of the Holy Spirit, through the law, acknowledged his sin. And then Nathan, speaking for God, said to David, "The Lord has forgiven all your sins." And through that word of forgiveness, the Holy Spirit brought David again the joy of his salvation as a child of God. And so when David writes these words in Psalm 51, "Create in me a pure heart, renew a steadfast spirit," he's talking not only about what the Holy Spirit does when he brings us from unbelief the first time into faith, or if we fall from faith and then the Holy Spirit brings us back to faith. But David is writing about that daily repentance. In a very real way, repentance is for us an ongoing thing. It's a constant condition in which we live and we acknowledge to our God. When we sin, our guilt burdens us. And we lay that sin on Christ. And we hear the Father say, "I forgive you for Jesus' sake." And through that good news, the Holy Spirit creates in us a pure heart. He gives us a steadfast spirit. We pray for those things daily so that we don't fall away from faith, so that our sins don't get the best of us and we become an unbeliever once again. But that repentance is not something that we can work by ourselves. It is something that only the Holy Spirit, that God the Holy Spirit, can work in us. He works contrition through the law, and then he works faith through the preaching of the gospel. Even that word create is instructive. David doesn't pray, give me a pure heart and a steadfast spirit, as if those things were out there somewhere and all somebody had to do was give it to him. He's saying that the Holy Spirit has to actually create that. The Holy Spirit creates that repentance and that faith in our hearts. David was even able to ask for it because he already had it in his heart. When we sang right before the sermon, with broken heart and contrite sigh, a sinner I come to you, Lord, a troubled sinner, trembling sinner, I come to you. We are able to do that because of the faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts in the first place, that we recognize our sin, that we know Christ's forgiveness, and that once again in the absolution, as I preach the gospel to us, as we receive the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit renews in us, creates in us that heart pure from sin, a heart that clings to the righteousness of Christ, that is his holiness under the law, and leads us in righteousness to live sanctified lives to the glory of the Father. God the Holy Spirit moves us to repentance and brings us forgiveness. And he does that in the Word of Christ. And that Word cleanses us, purifies us, removes our guilt, even the guilt of bloodshed. You may know in the old NIV and in the King James, that word was blood guilt. And that just simply uses the example of shedding somebody's blood as the apparent height of all sin. Now, we know all sin is equally bad in God's eyes. But David said, deliver me from the guilt of actually taking another human being's life, which I did when I arranged the death of Uriah the Hittite. So David is really saying, cleanse me and purify me from all of my guilt, for the guilt of all of my sins, for which I am guilty. The Holy Spirit creates in us a heart that beats in sync with God's heart of love for us. The Holy Spirit creates a mind in us that thinks in sync, as we have now the mind of Christ that agrees with his will, that strives daily to live his will in our lives. In English, David's words are in the form of a prayer. But in Hebrew, some of the phrases are simply statements of fact. For example, when David prays that God would restore to him the joy of his salvation, he says, and give me a willing spirit, in Hebrew that you could translate that, and you will give me a willing spirit. So David offers this not only as a prayer, but also as a statement of his trust in God's promises. When you restore to me the joy of my salvation, then you will give me a pure heart and a willing spirit. But doesn't that make sense? Isn't that what every one of our prayers is? Isn't every one of our prayers a saying to God, you will answer me. You will hear me. Because that's why I'm praying to you. Because I know that you have promised, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. So every one of our prayers is also a statement of our faith in God's promises to take care of us. And God restores to us, as He restored to David, the joy of our salvation. We receive that joy when we lay our sins at the feet of Jesus, the Son. And then the Father says, because of my Son, I will forgive you all those sins that you have laid at my Son's feet. And then the Holy Spirit, through that message of forgiveness of the Father forgiving us for the Son, gives us that forgiveness and purifies our hearts and gives us a steadfast mind and restores the joy of our salvation. So we see that even though Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit, it really is about the work of all three persons of the Trinity. And incidentally, that leads into next Sunday, which is Holy Trinity Sunday, where we talk about the person and works of our God. But that new heart and that willing spirit doesn't make us only avoid sin and serve God more faithfully, but it opens our lips and arouses our prayers. The NIV translates some other words of our liturgy in a little bit different way, and actually quite a strikingly unfamiliar way from what we're used to. When David said, open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. But that work of the Holy Spirit is to open our lips to sing God's praises and to proclaim His Word. You would have seen that last Thursday and Friday if you'd have been here for the closing preschool program when our little children sang, I am the light. And I'm going to tell you about one little girl in particular. Her family is Hindu. That little girl is a Christian. Because in childlike faith, she believes that Jesus is her Savior from sin. And that little girl stood up here and sang the praises of her Savior who loved her and died on the cross. And proclaimed to her Hindu family who was here that Jesus is their Savior. I talked to her mother afterwards and I said it was really a pleasure having your daughter in preschool. And I hope that you'll continue to keep in touch with us. We're glad we could teach her the good news about Jesus. And her mother said, she's always asking me, how come there's no crosses in our house? How come nobody ever says anything about Jesus in our house? And I said to her, Mom, I'd be happy anytime to talk to you more about that and share with you more what we taught your daughter. But that is a perfect example, it seems to me, of the Holy Spirit opening in childlike faith. And that's why we have a preschool. Opening that child's heart and mouth to sing the Lord's praises and to proclaim His name. But David reminds us that any mere outward praise and sacrifice is really meaningless. And far from David trying to get rid of the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings, he simply was saying that if you just do those outwardly, they're no good. What God really wants is a broken heart over sin, a contrite heart, a sin that A heart that recognizes that I have sinned against God. David said, you can't on one hand hold on to your love for sin and then with the other hand bring offerings and sacrifices to God, thanking Him for the Savior and His forgiveness. Those two things do not go together. The ongoing work of the Holy Spirit is to give me that broken heart and contrite sigh. To give me that saving faith in Jesus as my Savior and to strengthen that faith through the gospel. Those sacrifices are pleasing to God, not in the sense that they help get me to heaven, but in the sense that they are my works of love that flow from a heart made anew by God's love. Psalm 51 is really one of the most important and strongest of all the doctrinal psalms in the Bible. I'm going to ask each and every one of you sometime today or tomorrow to sit down and to read the entire Psalm 51. Because it displays on the one hand the extreme depths of sin and guilt. But it also talks about the extreme heights of God's forgiveness in Christ and the joy of our salvation. Thoughts that we use regularly in our public worship and thoughts that we use daily in our private devotions. May God daily grant our request for a pure heart and a willing spirit as He granted to repentant King David. Amen.